Good afternoon on this Good Friday, this day when we recall and commemorate how Jesus gave his life for us. During this Holy Week, we have been looking at four ways Jesus said no to the status quo. Four ways he changed life as it is typically lived. Four things he overturned, which most people would say could not be overturned. Yesterday, we saw that when we look at the Passion story, we see first that Jesus said no to the status quo of lying to protect oneself. Today, we come to the second point. When we look at the Passion story, we see that Jesus said no to the status quo of hating those who hate us. Good Friday is the time when we recall the suffering of Jesus because it was on this day, more than 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died for us. But the Gospels tell us that there were many aspects to the suffering of Jesus. We tend to emphasize the physical, the nails driven into his hands and feet, the crown of thorns, the spear thrust into his side. If we know our New Testament theology, we also recognize the spiritual aspect of his suffering. When Jesus gave himself for us, he took on himself all our sin, all our wrongdoing. Since God the Father is absolutely holy, and since he cannot tolerate sin, he had to turn his face away from Jesus. In other words, his relationship with his Son came to an end. The first time in all eternity. This explains the cry from the cross when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But there's another kind of suffering that Jesus experienced. We often forget the relational aspect of his suffering. And Jesus didn't suffer in private. He was not suffering in a hospital room. Or in his own home. He was hanging in a public square, and there were many who watched him die. The brutal fact is that the crowds did not just watch him die, they amused themselves by being spectators of his death. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus hung on the cross, the religious leaders mocked him, and the crowds yelled, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." They were, in that moment, doing the exact opposite of what Jesus deserved. After his ministry of miracles and feeding the hungry and setting people free from the power of evil, he deserved to have people recognize him for who he was, the Messiah, the Savior. But instead, the people there expressed doubt about who he was. They put out of their minds all the wonderful words he had spoken and all the kind and caring deeds he had done. They acted as if the prior 3 years of his ministry never happened. They treated him as if he was a sham, a fake, a phony, someone who claimed to be the deliverer God promised, but who clearly was not. The crowds around the cross did not praise Jesus for who he was. They cursed him for what they believed him to be in that moment. They saw him as, and cursed him as, a would-be political leader who could not rouse enough support to carry out his grandiose plans. Or they treated him as a mentally unstable person, someone with what we would today call a Messiah complex. Or to put it in the simplest terms, they ridiculed him for being a failure. A failure. The crowd could not accept the necessity of the cross. They believed it could not be in the plans of Jesus or in God's plans or in anyone's plans for the Messiah to be put to death on a Roman cross. It did not make sense. The Romans had used crosses in recent times to execute many Jews. They used crucifixion because they saw it as the worst and most terrifying form of capital punishment imaginable. The crowds should have heeded the cross, but instead they directed all their hatred at the one who was nailed to the cross. They yelled insults at Jesus. But the Gospel of Luke says that from the cross, Jesus looked out at these hate-filled people and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." But that was not only the attitude of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Refusing to hate the haters was his persistent way of dealing with life. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, Jesus said this, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." To love family, neighbors, friends, and the people who are close to us is only right, and that is what human nature expects. But how can you possibly love someone who hates you and who does terrible things to you? Yet Jesus, from the cross, demonstrates that very thing. And what is even more shocking is that he expects us to do the same. Corrie Ten Boom, who along with her sister Betsy, endured the Nazi concentration camps during World War II, tells this true story in her book, The Hiding Place. She says, "It was a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück concentration camp. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since the war was over. And suddenly, it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. 'How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein,' he said. 'To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away.' His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of thinking those thoughts. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? 'Lord Jesus,' I prayed, 'forgive me and help me to forgive him.' I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. 'Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness.' As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness, any more than on our goodness, that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself." End of quote. That is not the status quo, because the status quo would say that forgiving one who has hurt us is impossible. And it would be impossible were it not for the power of the risen Christ. The status quo says to love those who love us and to hate those who hate us, but Jesus said no to the status quo. And in doing that, he made a radical change in what it means to love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, even at this moment, we have to confess that we can think of people we have hated in the past, and maybe even people we still hate today. We confess that even though we are your children, we find it more than possible to hate. In truth, we find it easy to hate. We can hate those whose political views are far from ours. We can hate those of whom we are jealous because they have things we don't have, or they have accomplished things that we're afraid to even attempt. We can hate those who have said horrible things about us, those who have done horrible things to us, and we can even hate those who have rejected our faith and who treat us as fools for believing in Jesus. Lord God, the fact is that hate comes naturally to us because there is in us the heart of Cain, the man who murdered his own brother out of jealousy. This is our sinful human heritage, to be people of hate, and this heritage would control us till the end of our days were it not for one thing: your death for us. On the cross, you not only suffered the hatred of the crowds, but you took on yourself all our hatred. You endured the horrible punishment that our hatred deserves. And now when we put our trust in you and when we ask you to cleanse us, we can be forgiven. But not only forgiven, we can even be set free from our inclination, our desire to hate. Thank you for dying that we might no longer be people who find it so easy to hate. Thank you for rising again, that we might be people who have the power to love, even those who hate us. Amen.